Should I give my traditional sigh? It's my sigh.
I don't know. Now that you feel like a winner, you need a new intro?
No. Well, you know what fucking sucks right now?
Tell me what sucks in the day
for you and me. For you and me, this is probably like the biggest win in a couple of years, maybe even in the Campbell tenure. I mean, you could debate the Fiesta Bowl, you could debate Oklahoma, any of the Oklahomas and whatnot, maybe that Texas game.
I'd have to do some soul searching before I agree to that, but I'll go along with the premise.
And the next day it's ruined because Scott Frost gets fired. Now all anybody can talk about is Matt Campbell leaving for Nebraska.
No, that's your answer.
Is he gonna leave for Nebraska? No,
you know, he's not fucking going to Nebraska.
The ink hasn't even dried yet on that Big Ten TV deal, and Nebraska's already going to JG Wentworth or whatever, the cash advance place, checking the cash. And they're like, it's my money and I need it now so I can hire another coach.
They couldn't wait 2 fucking weeks or 3 or 4 weeks, whatever. They couldn't wait till they lost to Indiana to fire him.
Well, maybe this new guy will
turn. They paid an extra 7 points. That's desperate right there. But guess what? You ain't getting Matt Campbell. You ain't getting shit. You want to know why? Because they for a team that goes 3-9, like perennially now, they have a problem. And the problem that they have is they have the boosters that Texas does, but they're in a lot worse shape.
Yeah.
And they do not have the fertile recruiting ground.
Well, and they're not going to nab anybody who's already currently employed until after the season's over anyways. So that's what I wasn't understanding.
Real talk, though, you know who I think they're going to go get, and I hope they go get? Lance
Brian Leipold. Brian Ferentz?
Lance Leipold.
Oh.
Well, I want them to keep – I want them to get Brian Ferentz. I want that man to stay employed for as long as he possibly can. Because holy shit, his offense, like, we'll talk about our game in a little bit. Their offense is garbage. Their offense is terrible. I don't know how to analyze how our defense did in this game. I haven't watched it over yet.
I wouldn't mind seeing Kansas just because
Kansas beat West Virginia yesterday.
Yeah, I think it'd be well, there's a coaching change coming. I didn't think Kansas would be the team to help do it, but
yeah, I don't think we'll play Neil Brown this year.
No, I don't think they've got Neil Brown. Virginia Tech next this coming weekend, I think.
Well, Virginia Tech's nothing special in either.
No, so, and then, then Texas, who's licking their wounds, they got them the week after, I want to say.
Yeah,
there was all kinds of good games.
And there was a lot of upsets. But guess what? We won our game.
Yeah, at least ours went chalk.
I don't think it went chalk. But when we, because Iowa was still favored.
Yeah, well, there's dumb money out there.
Yeah.
But whenever people quote betting lines, it's like, you know, there is such a thing as just dumb money.
I don't know how to analyze this game, especially on Iowa State's defensive side, because their offense was so bad. Their offense was so bad. I mean, how do you, like, look at a play and know if our guys did the right? Well, you know if they were in position, but you don't really know how good they were because those passes were so fucking bad. I mean, they didn't have a wide receiver catch a pass until, like, the fourth quarter.
I remember seeing a play Petrus threw towards the sideline, and it looked like one of our corners was jumping the route. And I remember screaming, thinking that we're going to take a pick six right now. And the ball flew over everybody's heads. And so it's like if the ball would have been on its mark, he would have been on his horse and riding. But No, instead he threw it into section five.
Yeah. How do you put that? Like, how do you put that guy still out there? How do you put that? How do you trot that guy out there?
I do. Like, it takes a lot for me to feel bad about an Iowa Hawkeye. I feel like they need to set him on the bench for the next game just to prove that the next guy is going to struggle just as badly.
They so
that at least yeah. Spencer Petras doesn't go the rest of his adult life with Iowa fans chirping shit at his email inbox while he's trying to sell insurance in some neighboring community.
I mean, he might be the worst Iowa starting quarterback since Hayden Fry got there.
What I'm getting at, though, is it's not all his fault. Like,
No, it's the coach's fault for, one, not having anybody better, and two, trotting him out there when he can't do anything. Yeah. I mean, you at least got to try somebody else to either show, hey, look how bad this guy is, or somebody can bring in some juice. Anyway, I'm glad they played him the whole damn game.
Oh, yeah. Well, it went the way I was planning as far as their offense was concerned.
They were. Their offense, they can't do anything. But you know what I'll say? Their defense, for people saying that they're pretty good.
Yeah.
For us, we
broke them. I think we broke them. It could have been a rout had it not been for us sputtering at the goal line.
I think
three times.
What I'll say is I think we had five turnovers in that game. I count punt blocks as turnovers because they give you the field position advantage that a turnover does.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not punting it 50 yards. You're punting it 10 yards. And that's kind of how I view those. So we had five turnovers against Iowa and still beat them. I mean, if you would have told me, last week, oh, you're going to have five turnovers this game, I would have been like, fuck it. I'm not watching. I'm locking myself in the closet.
You know, so we might as well. Let's just start from the beginning. So
here,
what do we do? We leading into the game, we were saying, please, for the love of God, let us get the ball first so that we can march down the field and at least pin Iowa deep because we know their offense is garbage. And so what do? We get the ball first. Fantastic. All right. So what do we do with it? Go three and out, and then our punt gets blocked. Just like cue it up. Like it's never like, oh man, I was in a dark spot in the beginning of the game. And then of course our defense just let them in. I want to say in less than three plays.
Oh yeah.
Right down our throats.
We were 2.5 minutes into the game and we had already had the ball. We were 2.5 minutes into the game and they scored. I was like, oh, this is exactly how this is going to go.
Right.
And now we're going to be trying to get it down the field and score quick because we know we probably need to be ahead in order to win this because something stupid is going to happen. And then we just, yeah, I thought we were just going to keep making mistakes and that'd be it.
Well, I mean, we settled in after that.
Yeah. How can you possibly think otherwise? How can you possibly think otherwise knowing this game? This game is so dumb.
I was a little nervous on how that started out. And I don't know what kind of I don't know what Iowa does on special teams because this year isn't some fluke from normal years or by any means. They're always getting in there, getting their hands on field goals and punts. And why is it that we're not able to put anyone under pressure? Simo, did we ever pressure their punter? I don't think so. Maybe we did once. I don't remember. No. It doesn't matter.
I think we got close, but whatever. I mean, I've never seen another team like this. I've never seen another team get so close to blocking punts and blocking
every
punts.
Time.
Every fucking time. I mean, we almost had at the very end of the game, we almost had another punt blocked.
Mm-hmm.
We almost had three blocked punts in a game. Ugh. And they were good punts when we got them off. Good punts.
You think about how this game could have been.
Ugh.
And I know I'm already mentally preparing myself for the Hawkeye fan that I'm going to come across at some point in the week.
Good.
Tell me how the refs gifted us the win. If we wouldn't have gotten that roughing or what do you want to call it? Shit, I'm blanking. When they hit Deckers right before he went out of bounds on our touchdown game winning drive.
I've seen so many people.
If they wouldn't have thrown that flag, that's what gave you guys the game. This one play out of a whole game worth of fucked up calls.
Yo, first of all, they're gonna call that every time. Any stadium, every time. If your guy is getting out of bounds with another player, there's really no other way to have happen. And a third guy and another guy comes in, another defender comes in and just pushes your quarterback, especially.
Yeah. I think the fact that it was the quarterback is probably what tipped it over the scale.
And the other thing that tipped it over the scale is because at Kinnick, there's shit 2 yards out of bounds. There's medical tables and benches and shit. Right. You don't have that at Jack Trice. That stuff is all 15 yards out of bounds.
Yeah, we have blacktop, like, instead.
That's another thing, though, is if you, like, the player can say, oh, there's fucking shit right there, I'm going to push him into that. It's not the only cheap shot that happened all game. I mean, refs are going to call that every time because it's endangering players. They need to. Their job is to keep the game under control.
Well, I guess the big point I was meaning to get out of that was, before I send us off the rails, was how many times did we find a way to not put up points inside the 5 yard line or certainly the 10 yard line? You've got Jirel fumbling it, trying to leap over the goal line. When later in the game, I see us making one hell of a push on a quarterback draw.
Multiple. No, under center.
Under center. Yeah. Where were we? Why were we just doing that?
Yeah, we did that. We did that when we on the first play of the 99-yard fuck you drive. We went under center and did a QB sneak and got like 2 yards.
Yeah, could have done that.
That wouldn't happen.
The pick that we threw on second down, I want to say, the next time down the field. That we were down there, like, this could have easily been a 10 to 21 point advantage that I think.
Oh yeah.
Third one. We of course got that chip shot of a field goal out of the thing. So we did get points out of it, game winning points out of it, but woulda, shoulda, coulda on our drives, but that's all right. Good guys came out on top. It wasn't going to be pretty. You knew it wasn't going to be pretty playing Iowa.
My favorite thing. So I was sitting next to Kevin the whole game. My favorite thing about this game was at the end. You're still mad. I'm sitting there. I'm all happy. Like, we finally beat this fucking team. I was in college the last time we beat this team. And there's been like, it's crazy. It's 8 years ago, and I'm giddy and I'm happy, and you're over there going, this is bullshit. I'm like, the game's over. We won.
We were so much better than them.
Oh, we are. We were. That's why I tweeted.
And
I
was we were so much better than them, and came down to a field goal.
That don't matter.
Almost sent it into overtime.
Here's the thing that I'd kind of argue. We were the better team last year. We were the better team in 2019.
I know. That's what was flashing through my memory, was just all this bullshit.
We're always
and we almost allowed it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how we didn't allow them to come back and tie the ball game, I don't know. We probably, in a parallel universe, we probably did.
Yeah, like ever since 2018, we've been the better team. Like, in 2018, Kyle Kemp gets hurt, and then we bring out Zeb Nolan and can't really do anything. Mm-hmm. But, like, 2019, we were the better team. 2021, we were definitely the better team. We just started in our own ass for most of the game.
Yeah. What was this that I saw? Here, let me pull it up. I saved it. Here we go. Iowa State's first quarter drive that started on the Iowa 49 was our first plus territory drive to begin against Iowa since 2014.
Is that after the Petrus fumble and that must have Will been McDonald the fumble. Picks it up?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean,
the first time in almost a decade.
I mean, right when that fumble happened, I'm like, we're going to win this game. Finally, this cursed game where, I mean, we can't even force a fumble or can't even force a turnover since like 2015 or whatever it was. Some stupid, stupid stat where we can't do anything against them. And finally, we force a fumble. Right when that happened and right when Petrus threw a pick, I was like, that's it. We're going to win. We're going to win. I don't care because finally the curse is broken.
You know, what I had fun watching was TJ Tampa tipped that ball that Reader ended up picking off.
Yep.
So seeing him get involved in that one, and I swear I was reading some article and they had, I think, Gary Vaughn maybe giving credit for forcing the fumble on the goal line.
He was.
I thought it was TJ Tampa that was ripping it.
No, Gary Vaughn caused the Petrus fumble. I think
I'm talking about the Potterbaum fumble.
Oh, okay. I think on the goal line. I'm pretty sure that was TJ.
That's what I thought too. Like two times that guy's sniffing in there, just causing havoc.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I've realized about yesterday's game. And now we may be kind of giving a lot of credit to a unit that didn't really have that hard of a day because the defense really didn't have that hard of a day. But they all look really good. And even the offense, like the offensive line was bowling around their defensive line.
Yeah. How many times can you say that in an Iowa State matchup?
Good night. I mean, usually it's the Hawkeyes, usually they like push us around and bully us around and dictate what happens.
Jirel solidified his role as the number one back.
Yes, he was damn good. He was damn good. Xavier Hutchinson was damn good. There's really like this is kind of the it's kind of hard to talk about like, oh, where do we need to improve? Because everybody like we had five turnovers, but everybody looked really good. Maybe where we need to improve is figuring out like, hey, Deckers, don't throw a 5 yard out across the field. It's going to be picked. Yeah. It's going to be picked. That was the same.
Was that the ball to Jalen?
That was the ball to Jalen. And I think that was a miscommunication, but it was still a bad throw. Do not throw that, please. It's going to be picked, and it's especially going to be picked against the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're going to pick that all day and all night.
They can sniff those things out.
They're going to sniff that out. He was right there waiting. Hunter Decker is great. That's the one thing that he needs to clean up is like, hey, don't throw that. That pass might work in high school. That's not going to work here. It's not going to work in the NFL. They're going to sniff that out and take that to the house. And Baylor will take that to the house. They lost yesterday, so they're not feeling too great.
Yeah.
No.
I don't have a clue how good BYU is, but
they're ranked. They look pretty good. I watched that game. That game was on till like fucking 2 a.m. That game, man. After that game, I was like, I'm exhausted. I need to go to sleep.
Yeah, we drove home, and I think I went straight to bed.
Yeah, I didn't hear much from you, but the that BYU game went into overtime. BYU's quarterback is one of those where it's like, okay, he throws some really good passes. He throws a beautiful ball, but I just can't tell if he's like cognitively – like mentally, like a really good quarterback. If he makes really good decisions and has good vision and awareness and whatever, I just can't tell. I know that they had a couple receivers out yesterday. I don't think they were not up to like full where they should be. I can't tell how good they are. I think that we're better than them, though. And I think that we should beat Baylor when they come to our house. When do they announce that game time? Is that going to be this week? Sometime this week?
I'm guessing that would be this week, yeah.
Because that game needs to be a night game, man. I hope it's not Big Noon. I hope it's not Big Noon.
No.
Please don't be Big Noon.
Let's do Big Noon when we're on the road.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's do it when we're at Texas. But
exactly.
Because I know they hate Big Noon.
Well, that's Oklahoma.
They hate Big Noon too.
I would take Big Noon at home when Oklahoma comes to town.
This game's hard to talk about, like the Cy-Hawk game. I'm super happy about it. You're not happy about it, but you're happy we won.
I'm glad we won. I know we left points on the board, and I know we could have rubbed their nose in it, and we didn't. And I think that's the part that during the game, my worry was that we're not taking advantage of these opportunities. It's going to come back in some bullshit way to bite us, and it almost did come to fruition there.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like,
I think by the middle of the week, you'll kind of be like, hey, we won. You'll call me on Wednesday and be like, it finally sunk in, we won. Fuck the Hawks. Let's go. I think you're still kind of like, because everybody's shaking in their boots the entire game. They're freaking out. I don't think – we didn't have the moment of ecstasy of like, we're going to fucking win. Yeah. We won. Like, if we kick a game-winning field goal, I think we're going crazy, going – hell yeah, we won. Or if like a game-winning touchdown. I mean, the game-winning touchdown came like 10 minutes left in the game still.
Yeah.
So I don't think we had that moment of – because – and that offered zero relief to me. I was like, they still got time. They still got time. And
You know what I did like? Just thinking of random moments of the game are just popping in my head. So sorry to anyone who's listening. There's no flow to this at all. It's just
– that's fine.
Going into halftime, we'd been marching down their throats and stalling out at the goal line how many times by this point. Iowa has the ball with, I want to say, maybe 2 minutes to go. And they – And they try to do some run right up the middle, waste some clock immediately. Thank you, Matt Campbell. Calls a timeout after we stuff them at the line of scrimmage. Make that bullshit offense prove it against you. When you know your defense is better than the opponent's offense, that's what I like seeing. And sometimes I feel like we're all too happy to allow the game to just roll into halftime. Not yesterday.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. I'd like to see him be aggressive like that in other games. Now watch, it's going to bite us, and everybody can say whatever they want to me. But
I think we're going to like barely win the Ohio game.
Well,
it's going to be a lot like that Akron game in 2018 where we're like, why the fuck are we beating this team?
How many guys are we going to try and give a rest to and that sort of thing before you got Baylor coming?
Yeah, and we have a couple guys out. We got a couple guys dinged up yesterday. So I think that Ohio isn't anything special, but still, like, yeah.
Still got scholarship athletes.
We're still the much better team. This is not old Matt Campbell teams or old Paul Rhodes teams where if you don't trot out your top 22, you'll get beat. Let me look up what they did yesterday, the Ohio Bobcats. I think they played Penn State. Let me take a look here.
Yeah, they did, and they got throttled.
Penn State, yeah, 46-10, which I think if we come away with like a 24-10 win, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, that'd be good by me.
The good thing about this.
That's what the Iowa score should have been.
Well, yeah. The good thing about this now, 10 is being generous for that fucking team.
Well, yeah.
The good thing about this now is we can just go, all right, boys, line them up. O-line, push them around. Jirel, here's the fucking rock. Go win the game. Like before, you're always kind of, is our offensive line already good enough? I don't know. Yeah. The offensive line now, I can trust, be like, put on your chin straps, boys. Let's go to war.
Yeah, get Eli in the end zone maybe this time.
Yeah. I mean, he looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Jirel's the starter, obviously.
Yeah, you can tell. You can tell.
Yeah, Jirel is on a different level, and probably even on a different level than Kartavius, too. Kartavius is not going to play this game. They're going to keep him out. They got to get ready for Baylor.
Right.
When Baylor comes. I'm not thrilled about Baylor. I don't think their running backs or anything. They stopped. If you didn't watch the game, here's a little preview. They stopped giving the ball to Blake Shapen. They stopped letting him throw it. So they made a terrible mistake getting Gary Bohannon or Jerry Bohannon or whoever. They made a terrible mistake forcing him out. Blake Shapen was he couldn't throw yesterday. He was terrible. Let me look at what his quarterback rating was, but they went into overtime and they only handed off the ball. Their running backs aren't anything special either.
Is Bohannon still on their roster?
No, he left. I think he went to like UCF or something. Good. No, USF. It's part one of those Florida schools.
Part of me was worried that they were going to just like trot him out for the Iowa State game just so that he could gash us on some read option bullshit.
Yeah, so Blake Shapen went 18 for 28, not terrible, for 137 yards, 4.9 yards average, and one touchdown, a quarterback rating of 35. It's not great. It's not great. Let me – like, the other quarterback threw for almost 300. So that's a good – that's a comparison for you. I don't know what they were thinking. Meanwhile, Gary Bohannon, he didn't do too well either yesterday. So I think that the Baylor game, let's do this. I think that the Baylor game, we're going to win that depending on what time it is, depending who we have back. I think we're going to win that game. How are you feeling about your predictions for the rest of the season? Now that we've beat Iowa.
Well, so far I'm still right.
So far we're still right. Yeah. I feel good.
So Texas has me a little more nervous than they did before. I'm still feeling good about it though, because let's face it, Texas just plays up for the big games that they all want to care about, and then the rest of the schedule catches up with them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they always play the Red River rivalry hard, and then they look like dog crap against us.
And that's right before we play them. And who knows? I guess who knows what Ewers has for an injury? There was a hell of a difference in what that playbook looked like when he was slinging it. And I'm sure Alabama's defensive change, they had to have made some adjustments.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think Hudson Card looked all that bad. I don't think he looked all that bad.
Well, you didn't see Worthy getting those deep shots anymore was what I was getting at.
No. No, you did not.
So, at this point, granted, that's about the only other Big 12 game I've watched so far this season is the Texas game against Alabama. I tried to watch some of BYU and Baylor today, and I couldn't get myself into it.
That's good. Let me look up.
Yeah, we might as well still be 11-1.
Might as well. I mean, we won won one of the hardest games on our schedule. We always know that the Iowa game, no matter who's ranked what in our conference, if Iowa is worse than they were this year, we know that that game is going to be the hardest game, one of the hardest games on our schedule. We know it because it's stupid. And we came out with a victory this year. Kansas State beat up on a terrible Missouri team. That team is garbage. That team, man, they were terrible. They had one, they threw three picks in a row. So I'm waiting to see on Kansas State because they haven't played anybody. And Texas Tech beat a Houston team in double overtime. I really don't like them having Donovan Smith out there. He scares me, but they're coming to our house this year. So them going to double overtime with a Houston team. Anyway.
And Tech's later on in the season too.
Yeah, they're later on in the season. They hate the cold. They hate the cold.
Well, especially when they're losing.
That's a real deal.
That seems to bother them more when they're not winning.
So we'll see what happens with them this season. I think that's still a dub for us. Kansas State, I'm still waiting to see with them. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're not.
The league's such a crapshot right now. So I think you really won't know until probably, what, we'll say week five. By then, everybody's got a couple of conference games under their belt.
I mean, Oklahoma was 7-3 against Kent State at halftime. And then they came out and made them their whipping boy in the third. But, like, I don't know. Are they –
And that's just a testament to depth, probably as much as anything.
What's that?
That's probably just down to depth as much as anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So jury's still out on them. Oklahoma State, it took them a while to get going against Arizona State. I mean, TCU played Tarleton and Kansas beat West Virginia. So the Big 12 is wide open right now for anybody to take it. I think that probably the best teams in the league are still us, Texas, and maybe Oklahoma. I have not been impressed with Oklahoma State. Their defense has really gone down. Baylor, I haven't been impressed with them. I mean, they played an Albany team that nobody cares about, and then they lost to BYU. Now, BYU was rocking, but still – That should be a game that they go on the road and win if they are a top 10 team, which they were.
Well, they had the number by their name at least.
Yeah, they were number 9 in the country.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. They were really high up there. Now they're not. They went down today.
Well, shit, we're gonna be top 15.
If we beat them, yeah.
No, I'm just thinking as many upsets and everything there was. There's only so many 2-0 teams.
We only got 4 votes today. So we'll see where we go. We have to beat Ohio, and then other people will fall out, other people will do whatever. And then we'll get more and more votes. And by the time we play Baylor, once we beat Baylor, we'll be ranked. And I think when we play Baylor, they'll probably be number 15 or something. Who knows? But once we beat them, we'll probably be 21. And then it's all how much can we win from then on. I think we'll beat Kansas. They beat a West Virginia team that hates their coach. I think we'll beat Kansas State just because it's at home. And I don't think they're any good. I don't think that Adrian Martinez is any good. But anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about real sure. quick, jumping because we are reacting to the Iowa game.
Let's do it.
The man's drive. So the man's drive.
You tell me.
Starting with that fumble on the goal line, it was a fumble, right? He did not cross the goal line.
He did not.
I didn't think so either. And no. Sometimes I get myself caught in some jaded opinion, you know, and.
Yeah, you're worried about you're still complaining that you don't know if he actually fumbled or got a touchdown, and we're already at the 50. Yeah, so, and you're complaining as to why that guy scored a touchdown, and I'm like, which team are you voting rooting for? Come on.
Well, I was in a spot.
You're trying to find a reason why we shouldn't win that game anyway.
We get this ball, rip it right out of their souls on the half yard line. Mm-hmm. That whole stadium knew all they had to do was punch it in. And they knew deep down they didn't deserve to be on that field with us, but they were going to steal another one so they could rub our noses in it. That yep. was, they were 6 inches away from being able to just say, fuck you, Iowa State, little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we snatched that bitch right out from under them. And like 11 men playing with children, ran it right down their throats. What'd we take? 15 minutes? It felt like an eternity.
11:49. That field,
I think we stole a quarter and a half. It was probably an entire game's worth of time. Just methodically taking it from them. Just we pulled an Iowa on Iowa.
That is
ran a 20-something play drive.
Tell it to you. I don't even need to look. I don't even need to look.
Make a t-shirt out of that and just
21 plays, 99 yards, 11 minutes and 49 seconds. I kind of want to check how much time of like real time, including all the commercials and all that,
that it actually like, took out of someone's life.
That it actually took out of someone's life. How long did Iowa State have that ball? And were the people in the stadium just had to watch us go up the field slowly but surely, just crawling up the field in a fashion that they're praying to the gods. That, I mean, we showed Brian Ferentz what his father wants him to be.
Mm-hmm. And cap it off with a toss to Xavier Hutchinson, where he just shrugs off whoever the hell it was in the end.
So the thing that I love about that is both like Xavier Hutchinson. He was a guy who was passed up to be a preseason All-American, and he shrugs off a real preseason All-American. Riley Moss is a preseason All-American cornerback, and he makes him look like child's play. Get off me, little boy. And the amount of people, I haven't really even talked to very many Hawkeye people.
There's another play right there. Oh,
right there.
Offensive pass interference.
That's all.
The fuck it was.
That's pass interference. Shut off. They called the game. They called the same game for both teams. Now, I'll say this. Some of those calls were bullshit. Some of them weren't real. That offsides and then unsportsmanlike conduct at the very end of the game. Yes. I mean, they almost handed the game to the Hawkeyes.
No sideline warning at all in that game.
There's no sideline warning. He was not offsides. That was a strip sack fumble, us picking it up, winning the game.
I didn't realize that last night while we were watching it, but watching the replay of that highlight today, it took me a minute to even place where in the game that happened.
Mm-hmm. Very end.
That's exactly it. At the end. And of course the sideline's going to go nuts. They just thought we sealed the game.
I mean, it's like the refs don't know what games they're reffing.
Right.
It's like they don't know that they're reffing a rivalry game in which these
we're not playing Ohio.
You got to remember some of the kids like Cartavius Norton, Will McLaughlin, some of the kids that are, Cartavius didn't play in this game, but Will McLaughlin, Jacob Imming, all those guys who came to play, like they hadn't won this game since they were 10.
Right. And they thought the defense just sealed it for them right then and there.
The last time they saw us win this game was when they were in fourth grade. They were in fourth grade the last time that we won this game. Fourth or fifth, I don't know, whatever. Fourth or fifth grade when we won this game. They went through middle school dealing with shit. They went through high school dealing with shit that the team that they root for, and I don't know if they rooted for Iowa State or whatever. I know probably Will McLaughlin rooted for Iowa State. They had to deal with, Iowa State sucks. And then when they committed to this program, why would you go there? It's a Hawkeye State. Come on, dude. And then they finally get that dub. They finally get that dub. Deckers mm-hmm. gets that dub. Deckers gets the dub. All those you saw immediately after the game when they actually won the damn thing. All those Iowa kids, all the kids from Iowa who are on Iowa State roster, running to that trophy. Yep. It was all the Iowa kids who got there first and picked up that trophy. Like, the other guys didn't even know what to do. All the guys out of state, they didn't know you're supposed to go run and grab the trophy.
Yeah, you steal that shit from their sideline.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they didn't know because they'd never done it before. And we went and we grabbed that trophy. We carried that bitch around. We told those Hawkeyes, get off the fucking field. This is our field now. We should have planted a flag. We should have done all that. I don't care. All these people telling you, you're unsportsmanlike for young tripping and stuff. It's like, yeah, let's talk about you for a second.
Oh, come on. See, that's the stuff. I think the whole COVID lockdown, everybody staring at their phones and looking for something to get mad at.
Yeah.
Has softened people's perspective. And this is what makes rivalries fun. You need to be allowed to let these guys chirp at the fans and vice versa. Like if I'm in a section and Iowa wins and they come and steal the trophy right from in front of me, you're damn right. I'm going to say something I probably am going to think is regrettable the next day. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to whine when they say something back.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the fun of it.
And I can understand if you have your kids there and you don't want your kids seeing that and whatever, but like, don't sit right real close.
All right. Well, take them to a soccer
that's
game.
It's not a good environment.
State place.
It's not a kid friendly environment right there, but like, man, I think you'll come around to it. I can tell you're still a little bit upset that we didn't put them away. Who cares? We won.
I'm happy. There's definitely a segment of me that's just more relieved than happy. Mm-hmm. And I just saw all of those opportunities to just take them to the cleaners. And I wanted that real bad.
Well, let me tell you this. And you're probably expecting the big play, just Xavier Hutchinson running it down the side of the field, breaking their hearts as he trots into the end zone. You probably wanted that play. You probably wanted the Jirel off tackle, taking it to the house type run that just gets them right in the heart. The one that really gets them right in the heart, and they know it. They're probably coming around. Well, they're still making excuses. All those fans.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just
but it'll come around within like 2 weeks where they'll go, yeah, that drive that they had it 6 inches away from their own end zone. When last week we got two safeties on a team, we got two safeties and we were expecting to get a safety. I mean, you saw all those fans giving the safety signal as were trying to get it out of our ass, trying to get it out of our end zone. You saw them all giving the safety signal to like, hey, here comes the safety. Them seeing a 99-yard drive that took 12 minutes of game time. You could have five of those drives in a game. You could have five drives in a game, and the game would be over.
Right.
I mean, they saw us do a 99-yard, 12-minute drive, and they'll come around to going, that is what we have been trying to do for years, and we used to be able to do that, and now we can't, and I want that back. That's how we want to play football, and we don't have it right now.
No, I think that's exactly right. Well, we've talked about this yesterday while we were watching the game, was how much of Iowa's defense is down to their special teams putting them in such great positions where offenses are hamstrung. I mean, because when you watched that game yesterday, and I haven't watched it back and actually paid attention, I tried to a little bit, but things were happening today. We were able to move the ball fairly effectively against them all day long.
Mm-hmm. All day.
All day long. I mean, yes, we didn't get the breakaway play that is what gets you into those chunk yard moves and stuff like that. But that one drive, what was it? We did have a couple of back-to-back 20-something yard passes. But anyways, what I'm getting at is they were not some stifling defense that just – murderer's row, you're lucky to get out or get one first down before you have to punt it right back to them, like you saw South Dakota State struggle to do. I think that was exciting to see, was our offense playing against what's supposed to be a good defense. And I'm sure they are a good defense. Uh-huh. Hopefully they are. I guess that means good things for our team.
I mean, we ran like 80 plays and they ran like 50. Their defense was kind of giving up there. I mean, they weren't giving up. They probably were like super exhausted.
That might have something to do with it too.
They also knew that if they get their defense back, if they get their offense back on the field, they're not going to do anything. And their defense would get off the field so quickly against teams like South Dakota State because they're pinned against their own end zone. They have limited things that they can do. So the defense knows what they're going to do, and they stop them. And they're just playing this punt game the whole time. And the 99-yard drive may be the best drive in Iowa State history. Better than the Fiesta Bowl one. Better than a couple other ones. Because we were talking about it. We've been talking about it for a month. A lot of podcasts have been talking about it for a month. You can't out Iowa, Iowa. I mean, how many times have we heard that? And we just did. We just did. We out Iowa'd Iowa on that drive.
I can't put this game on the same level as some of these other games that we've had in our lifetime.
I can. This I feel this is a turning point. I feel that we just went. We play a lot of games in the Big 12. We can win some messy games in the Big 12, but you don't have the games where you don't have to be perfect in the Big 12 to win a game. I mean, look at that TCU game where Brock Purdy gets ragdolled around and throws it behind him. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had that mistake. We had a couple other mistakes in that game, and we still won. We just were the better team. You can just be a better, more talented, pretty disciplined team in the Big 12 and win the games. You don't really have that much trickery or whatever in making sure that you have to be perfect. I mean, you have to be perfect with Iowa. And we weren't perfect, and we still won. We still won. I think that drive was a turning point because we were kind of questioning, is our offensive line that good? Can we do this without Breece Hall? We knew that Hunter Deckers was good from last week. We knew that Jirel was pretty good. Can we run with these guys and really become a really good team?
You know what I want to see next weekend?
Oh boy, what?
I want to see some more of Dimitri Stanley getting touches. Because I don't think he's found his fit with the team yet.
They
haven't connected. He's caught the ball a few times, but he's got to be a better talent than what I've seen so far. And I think some of that's just getting some rhythm going. And this coming Saturday, perfect time for it, right before conference play.
Mm-hmm. We need to build his confidence up.
Let's target him. You can give the ball to Bitter too. that catch he had with NFL style, both sets of toes on the ground. Hugging that sideline that he had.
Was he in?
What's that?
Was he in?
Oh, he was fucking in.
I don't know whether he was or wasn't. I really don't. I don't know. I was like, get up to the line, throw it.
To be honest, I was probably too busy barking with Ben's dog. It just seemed like every time we'd start hollering, his dog would get all worked up.
Mm-hmm. Get Aiden Bitter the ball. Aiden Bitter is a very, very good route runner. I mean, he burned that guy with his routes. And
is he a sophomore?
He went to Deion Silas's high school, and he's a year older than Deion Silas. I think he's a redshirt sophomore. Yeah. Actually, I think he's a redshirt. If including the COVID year, he's a redshirt freshman. So,
sure. Yeah, that's still a thing, isn't it?
That's still a thing. Eligibility wise, if you count all that, he's I think he's Hunter Deckers' year. Yeah, Hunter Deckers is still like a redshirt freshman in terms of eligibility. It's so dumb. Now, I don't think he's going to stay that long. I think he'll leave either after next year, maybe after this year if he keeps it up. I think Jirel could leave after this year if he keeps it up. Like, I mean, Jirel looks really good.
And I hope he has an NFL caliber season.
Mm-hmm.
That just means good things for us, because I don't have concerns of our coaching staff being able to sniff out the next NFL ready running back.
Yeah, I think
they might already be here. You know, they just haven't gotten the reps.
I think that we have a couple NFL running backs in our backfield. I think that Eli Sanders could turn into something. I think he probably needs another year under his belt of getting comfortable and all that. I think he'll see playing time against Ohio. He definitely will. I think he'll see playing time in conference play.
The extremely limited snaps that Cartavius has gotten have looked good.
Mm-hmm. I think what Eli kind of reminds me of is the beginning days of Breece, when it was all kind of still coming together for him.
Sure.
He looks a lot better than he did last year, but it's still coming together. Colleges for him, which is fine. And
that's why
I got Jirel guide him. Mm-hmm. And I think that I like our receivers. I think we're going to be just fine with the receivers. Now we got to find someone to replace Axe, because Axe is so freaking good. But yeah.
Well,
I think what we have right now is we have a damn good quarterback. We have a damn good running back. We have a damn good wide receiver. We have a good line, and we have a defense that can get them the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
What that sounds like to me is a 10-win season, including the bowl game.
Hey, I didn't even mention, I know we've touched on Colby Reader with that interception, but I was real happy with him last night.
He's good.
Definitely seemed a half step quicker to respond against Iowa than he did against SEMO. And so I think things are gelling with the team in general. You're just seeing this collection of new bodies that we didn't have to deal with the last couple of years. You know, finding their place, and things are coming together looking, you know, worrying about freshman, sophomore mistakes with these guys so far are proving to be similar mistakes to what our tenured juniors and seniors used to do once upon a time.
And that's kind of what I'm excited about for the guys that we're bringing in. We're bringing in transfers that have a year or two left, that have gotten some playing time. Demetri Stanley got some playing time at Colorado. MJ Anderson got some playing time at Minnesota. These aren't guys who are just taking a chance on because they're buried on a roster at a blue blood. These are guys who actually got playing time. They just wanted a different opportunity. Colby Reader also was starting at Delaware. He started for multiple years. He wants to get to the NFL.
Yeah. We're putting him on the stage. It's just his job to finish his end of the deal.
We got guys who are proven somewhat. They've actually played. We have tape of them playing in an actual game.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just need to make it translate for Iowa State, and we need to kind of train them up and teach them better because our coaches are better, and get them out there and in a position to succeed, in a better position than what they were at their last place. MJ Anderson had a really good game. I wasn't staring at Demetri Stanley. I'm staring at where the ball's going on offense. I'm not looking at anywhere else other than the ball. But I have no idea how Demetri Stanley did, but Colby Reader and MJ Anderson looked really good yesterday. I mean, MJ Anderson on that one play was incredible.
It's hard for me to really pay much attention to receivers and defensive backs when we're watching on TV.
Yeah, you're watching the ball.
They're outside of view. You can't even see what they're doing.
That too
is half of the thing.
That too.
Things are trending the right way. Does that mean that we're gonna go undefeated because our overall team product is looking better than seasons before? No, of course not. I mean, but we're sure as hell in a better position than we were when we were excited to go to the Inside Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a couple questions.
Not the Inside.com Bowl. That was a good, that was a special year in 2000.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a couple questions. First question, who was your player of the game? Who did you say before and who do you think it actually was?
Before I was going with Will McDonald.
Okay.
I thought he was going to get more pressure on Petras than he did.
We
he
were
did.
Sending him. We were sending him.
He did bat that ball down.
Mm-hmm. He did get a fumble.
Yeah, he did get a fumble. Would that make him player of the game? I don't think so.
I don't think he was the player.
I honestly think it was probably going to be Xavier Hutchinson.
So I said Hunter Deckers. I thought Hunter Deckers would have to win it. I probably would give my two. I probably have two, and I would give it to Xavier Hutchinson. He's probably the actual one. The other guy would be Jirel.
Yeah.
Even though he fumbled it, I think Jirel punching that ball through the middle of the line, that was – I mean, we needed something, and he gave us a lot more than just something.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I thought that he was just going to be running into a stone wall the entire game, but he showed why everybody was buzzing about him in camp, why everybody was saying, oh, he looks really good, he's a step above where he has been. Is he Breece Hall? Who knows? We'll see when we play Ohio and get into conference play. But
back-to-back 100-plus yard games. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing it.
Getting 100 yards in that game is tough, and he did it. All right. Now, another question I have for you is, we're going to make the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
Like,
I think, do
we have the team?
I think we have as good of a shot as any of the other top teams, that anybody who thinks that they've got a shot in this conference this year, we're in the same boat as all of them. Mm-hmm. There is no clear cut. Here we are. We're a guaranteed slot. Are we number one or are we number two? Who knows? But we're going to go. We might as well buy our tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone can honestly say that with a straight face right now, including Oklahoma. And yeah. So why the hell not us? I don't see anybody on our schedule that scares me.
Do you think we have the guys? Do you think we have the players?
I think so. Where I hesitate is we're relying a lot on Hutchinson in our passing attack. And so,
I mean,
can Jalen Knoll relieve him some? That's why I'm so interested in Dimitri Stanley.
I'm interested in him. I'm interested in the tight ends, because the last time we went to the championship was we had a good quarterback. I think our quarterback now is better. Sorry, Purdy. We had a damn good running back. Jirel is not Breece Hall yet. Sorry, Jirel. But you're a good running back, probably will be in the NFL. You're not Breece Hall yet. I think that our wide receivers are better. I think that our tight ends haven't shown yet that they're Charlie Kolar and Chase Allen and Dylan Sainer. I think they're good. I don't think they're at that level yet. But our wide receivers are better. So that to me is kind of a wash. Kind of.
I like that we're comfortable with having designed quarterback runs.
I hate it. I don't think those work.
Well, I like that we're comfortable with it. No.
Well, they're not working yet. I mean, literally.
Iron out the kinks.
Immediately the defense sniffs it out. It's like, oh my gosh, they knew exactly what we were doing. Anyway. I think our line, to be honest, I think our line is better than the championship year. I say it like championship year, like we won it. The year we went to the championship.
That's all right. You don't have to spell it out. I like the championship year. It sounds better.
I think our defensive line is just as good, if not better. I think our linebackers are getting up there. I mean,
yeah, you're not being a jerk by saying that you think Mike Rose is better than any of our singular linebackers that we have.
Yeah. But I think that linebacker unit is just up there, just on. I mean, if you're taking six guys rotating in and out, I think that we're right there.
And how about that defensive secondary compared to the spot that common Iowa State fan in, what was it, January, February, March, when you were seeing all these names hitting the portal, hitting the portal, hitting the portal, hitting the portal, and you're hearing people say, what in the fuck is going on in that?
What in the fuck is going on? And I'll spell it out right here. And I don't – and thank you for being a Cyclone. I really appreciate it. We're cleaning house.
I think, I mean, to very varying degrees, some of it might have just been Guy knowing that he got his spot taken.
People knew that Bo was coming in. He's a dog. People knew that Anthony Johnson is changing position, and he's a dog. Mm-hmm. People saw what Malik Verdon, going to screw that up for the end of time. Malik Verdon, a couple other dudes were coming in, and they're dogs. And at the time, Craig McDonald was there, and he was going to play too. And Jaden Morgan was going to play. Jordan Morgan, whatever his name is, was going to play. And they thought, oh, we got a two deep and I'm not in it. And so some of those guys just went sayonara. Same thing with the linebackers. They saw who was coming in. They saw that Carson Marshall was good. They saw that Miles Mendezoon was good. They saw that other guys are going to come in and be dogs. And they're just like, okay, I got to find somewhere else. And good for them. Good for
that.
That's part of the job.
That's part of the new age, you know, wide open transfer market.
I mean, we were talking about this for the preview show. I have a friend who went to Illinois, friend's brother who went to Illinois to play quarterback. Year later, Juice Williams comes in. He gets the job. He plays forever. My friend sits there for 4 years.
Yep.
Just sits on the bench, rides it, knowing he will never play. He knew he would never play.
That's why the portal's there, though.
The portal is there for that guy. Mm-hmm. Back in 2000, and, I don't know, 2007, 2008. No, he knew, like, okay, I'm never going to play.
When your team could block in conference transfers and you had to sit out a year and you wasted all of that garbage.
He could have transferred to NIU and been incredible and played. But, like, that just wasn't a thing back then. Like, you were blacklisted if you transferred.
Right.
You had to go down to the depths of college football in order to play. Because they just, like, why would you transfer? We don't want that guy. He doesn't want to compete. Brr, brr, brr. And now it's looked at like, oh, yeah, we get it. Are you any good? And if you would have told me that, like, seeing all those guys transfer, I was kind of worried. We got some dogs.
Yeah, they're proven so far. I mean, 2 weeks in.
2 weeks in. And one week you're playing against a quarterback who can't hit the broadside of a barn. But still.
That's still more of a – this is still way more of a test than what most FBS programs do in their non-conference.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, they did not take very – did they take any deep shots yesterday?
Iowa?
Yeah. I mean, they took a couple up the middle, like 20-yarders. They didn't take, like, a real deep one, though.
I don't think he really could. I mean, I know he can throw it that far. I've heard about the video a million and a half times about how he can throw it 80 miles an hour or 80 yards in the air or something like that. But I don't think he had the time or the receivers to do it. And that's just too bad for them, I guess.
Yeah,
Not my problem. Not my problem.
I can't wait till they play Michigan. They're going to get boat raced at home. They're going to get boat raced.
Well, lucky for them, they play in the old Big 12 North.
Big 10 West.
Yeah. Well, I was equating it to the old Big 12 North, where it was a bunch of. It's
Sure, go ahead. Who wants to be the champion of that half of the conference? Because you're going to have to get your ass shellacked on the national stage right after that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Northwestern stinks. Illinois stinks. Wisconsin lost to Washington State.
Yes.
I mean,
what did Minnesota do? Are they the front runner now?
I have no clue.
Neither did any of their fans.
Probably Purdue, to be honest. It's probably Purdue, even though they're a game behind. Yeah. I still think they, I mean, they're, I think they're going to go through and clean up. You watch, Iowa's going to win seven games, even with a terrible freaking team, a you terrible offense.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I there are some good Hawkeye fans out there. There are. I've met a few.
Where are they? I've never met
them. I've met a few of them. And just think, pretend for a second that Iowa's program is your program, right? Pretend Iowa State's got Kirk and Brian. And think about this. You're shelling out all that money. And you're committing your time to something that you truly love, and you have to watch that for the entirety of the season. Because I don't care who they trot out. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. It doesn't matter who's calling the plays. It's nothing's going to change this season, even if Ferentz is gone. You know, for some wild reason, Kirk Ferentz finally just – says, you know what, fuck all of you. I'm just going to go home and sit and ride my yacht.
I mean, yeah. You're
nothing's going to change the season. So Joe Blow, the ticket holder, has to watch this for that, the next 10 weeks.
That's always what I talk about. Like, how they always brag about how, like, oh, our tickets are much more expensive than yours are. Oh, we make so much money. I'm like, you're bragging about tickets to a game that is like watching paint dry. I mean, that I can understand paying $200 to go see an Alabama game when they were good, or an Oklahoma game or whatever, because you know they're going to kick the shit out of whatever team and you're going to root and you're going to have a good night and whatnot. That game, like, I mean, you're struggling against South Dakota State. I mean, they I can't imagine having to pay to watch that garbage and watch your team just do nothing against an Iowa State team for 57 and a half minutes.
Now, when we did our picks, I called it. I was going 4-8.
I mean, you might be right. Let's look at their schedule. Because, I mean, we're just bullshitting around here right now.
Yeah,
they play Nevada next week. Nevada's not anything special. They lost to – they so – so Nevada – is 2-1.
Okay.
They played New Mexico State, Texas State, and Incarnate Word. Okay. Who do you think they lost to?
They beat Incarnate Word.
They did not beat Incarnate Word.
Oh no.
They lost 55-41 against Incarnate Word. That's who Iowa plays next week. The
Incarnate Word shootout.
they lost by double digits to Incarnate Word. So chalk that up for a bullshit Iowa win next week. I mean, they might score. That game might be a 2-0 game. And and then they play Rutgers away. Rutgers is 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Rutgers beat Boston College, and they beat a Wagner team bad. Then they play Michigan at home. That's going to be a loss.
I was going to say, I have them beating Rutgers for what it's worth.
Rutgers is currently favored in the computer metrics or whatever. Rutgers is currently favored. Michigan's currently favored. Illinois is currently favored. Ohio State's currently favored. These are the games in order. Let's go to Northwestern. Iowa's favored. That's at home. Purdue, that's going to be Purdue. Yeah, that's Purdue big, isn't it? Wisconsin, let's see. This is Iowa at home. Wisconsin is favored. Let's go to Minnesota. Minnesota is favored. Let's go to Nebraska just for the case of it. So they're only favored for three more wins. So they are what they are looking at is they are looking at a 4-8 season that Kevin predicted. Well, they are looking at that by the computers.
I know my Hawkeyes.
4-8. As a 4-8 team. You're going to brag to me about money and NIL and all your five stars and whatnot. And yep. This, that, and the other thing, and you're going to go 4-8. You better shut your pie hole. Well, shut your pie hole.
All of these big time conferences, they do need somebody just to lose. Mm. Keep the blue bloods happy.
If you go 4-8, I don't want to hear about money. If you go 4-8, I don't want to hear about your five stars. I don't want to hear about anything. You're 4-8.
And for some reason, they found a way to land a commitment out of a kid who didn't even watch him play, apparently.
No, he did watch him play. He thought, I could play at this team now.
Well, that's probably
true. Four-star quarterback.
Yeah.
He probably thought, I could play right now. And he is pretty good. I watched his tape. He's pretty good. But he probably thought, I could play right now. Right now. This kid sucks.
He might get himself throttled when he comes to Ames.
The thing about him, though, is he's a really good runner. He's really fast, really athletic. Like
by then, we'll have the 4-2-5 in place.
Hopefully. But the thing is, like for him, though, like he's a really fast runner, and any other school would be running him a lot. Is Iowa going to run him? No, they're going to tell him to stand in the pocket.
I was going to say, can he handle a power run?
They're going to tell him to stand in the pocket. And the moment he gets out of the pocket and actually gets sacked for like a 5-yard loss, Kirk is going to tell him, hey, buddy, you stand in the pocket. That's how we play in this school.
Well, you weren't around when, I guess you would have been around Big Ten territory when Brad Banks was around, but.
Oh, 20 years ago? 20 years ago? You think this man is going to change for a recruit? No. This man's not going away from Spencer Petras. This dude's as rigid as they come.
That's right. Well, I think we're 2-0 working on 3-0.
We're 2-0 working on 3-0. I think that's good enough for this podcast. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, all the good insights coming out of me like usual.
I'm just exhausted. That game was exhausting.
The sense of relief that was. There were all kinds of moans and groans and shouts coming out of my mouth, just assuming that something bad was going to happen.
I mean, that game, when that kick went up and it came down and it hit double zeros, there was no cheering and hugging and going crazy and what. Well, I think we were. But after it, I could still feel like everybody's like, is it over? Is it over?
Fucking.
We didn't get a penalty. We didn't get a penalty. We didn't. This game's over. Are we sure? Okay. And then like 30, it took us like 30 minutes to finally go, hey, we won, didn't we? Awesome. We're just like, how are we going to shoot ourselves in the foot? 20 minutes after the game, what are they going to find out and make drag our teams out there and make us try another field goal attempt or whatever? Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised if that ever happened. Anyway,
Cyclone State.
So it is a freaking Cyclone State, and there's not. If people say it's still a Hawkeye State, they can go. They send them my direction. I'll let them know. It's 10-7. That's the final score. It is a Cyclone State. If anybody says otherwise, they can go. I'm not going to tell them what they can go.
Well, they can just wait till basketball season. Maybe that'll work better for them.
Maybe their pitiful team could try something against our.
Maybe their basketball team's got it figured out this year. Who knows?
No, they don't. They're not going to the tournament. They're terrible. When you look at their recruiting class, they can't get anybody. They're terrible. They're going to start. Gary Barta better be careful for his job because he's going to lose his basketball team and his football team, like the coaches, because they're awful. Just terrible. Anyway, I hate Iowa. It is a cyclone state. Let it be known. If anybody says otherwise, they can. They're just ignorant and dealing with PTSD and coping. So, all right. I think that's a good spot to stop.
Yeah. I'm ready for conference play now.
I'm ready.
Fast forward me through Ohio. Let's go.
Well, don't fit. I still enjoy the Ohio game, but I like playing a team. I don't want them to be close, but I like playing a team. So anyway. All right. We'll see you guys later. Go Cyclones. See ya.